Welcome to the Iconic Womanhood Podcast, where we celebrate and learn from the wisdom of authentic, brilliant, conscious, and creative women from all around the world. This podcast will leave you inspired, empowered, and equipped to become truly iconic. And now, here is your host, Akenna. She is a transformational coach and speaker.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Iconic Womanhood Podcast. Today, I have a bit of a sermon for you. Yes. I know many of you tell me I might as well come out of the closet as a preacher, but I don't think I'm called to be a preacher. I'm a marketplace minister. Yes, I'm here to share my heart with you, and I want to share with you from scripture today. And you know, I always, very often, I love a Bible story, right? I'll share a Bible story with you, but I remind you that I'm not a theologian. And I'm not a pastor or a preacher. I am primarily a leadership and success coach focused on helping women like you gain soulful success. So everything that I do is focused on that, right? Whether it's my novels, whether it's my books, whether it's this podcast, and even when I share scripture with you. So I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not coming from this scripture. I'm not going to share the scripture from a theologian's perspective. We have some theologians in our community, so you can reach out to them and connect with them if you want to go deeper on that. But I'm just going to share my interpretation and my understanding and how you can take the knowledge from this and distill it into success for you. So today I want to share with you a passage that is often referred to as the healing at the beautiful gate, or actually more accurate, the healing at the gate called beautiful. Yes? Okay. So let me just start by sharing the passage. Yes? Okay. So here's the passage. And this is Acts 3, verse 1 through 9. And it goes like this. I don't think anyone's ever read a passage and says, and it goes like this. But here goes, right? Verse 3. One afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for 3 o'clock prayer. I'm going to come back to that. That has relevance. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth, being carried and placed at the entrance of the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going into worship. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. Then Peter said, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a minute, stunned, and then began to walk around. As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed by in front of the beautiful gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed. I want to read verse 11. Dumbfounded over what they were witnessing, the crowd ran over to Peter and John, who were standing under the covered walkway called Solomon's Porch. Standing there also was the healed beggar clinging to Peter and John. So I want to share from this scripture And it's so interesting, as I was reading the scripture again, because I already read it the first time, obviously, I was reading it during my own private devotional time, and I just got an awareness, well, a number of awarenesses that I wanted to share with you as regards to success. But as I was reading it just now for y'all, I had another awareness. when we say that the Word of God is living, is alive, and it's your aliveness that you bring to it. And when I say aliveness, I mean your divine alignment, your connection with God, your awareness, the work that you have done, the readiness of your heart. You bring that to the Word, and that's why you keep getting new revelations. That's why I love the Bible. I really do. To me, even if you're not a believer, it is wisdom just everywhere. You know, there's a scripture that I live by, and that's in Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is he who meditates on the law of the Lord, which is the Word, day and night, for he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Your leaves will not wither. You'll bear fruit in season. And I tell you, I practice that. And I've been practicing that for years. And I'll tell you, when I decided to put that in practice, because it was right around the time that I started to get the call to be a coach, and I started to rise and change and do my own personal development work and my own soul work, I saw such a shift in my life. Because when you get the Word inside of you, it's living, it's breathing, it does something to you, it changes you, it changes the way you think, it changes the way you feel, it changes everything about you. But it has to do with your readiness to receive it. Because I had been in church all my life, so I have been getting the Word, but the Word hasn't been getting in me. Ooh, wait, okay, let me focus on today's message. Are you ready for today's message? So today's message is about the healing at the gate called beautiful. Let me take a sip of my drink. And for those of you on YouTube, I am drinking, you can see my green juice, and it's my green smoothie, actually. It's celery. I'm going to give you the recipe, right? This is a little bonus. Celery, spinach, Swiss chard, turmeric, raspberries, which are low sugar, all berries are lower sugar, right? And just a few pineapples, because I'm really trying to watch the calories. And water is what I use. And this is a little side tip before we get back into the Word. When you make green smoothies, don't use juice. If you use juice, you are putting so much sugar into it that you are negating the value. And I just learned from one of my friends, clients, Agatha Chindu, about anti-nutrients. You need to follow her if you're not following her. So she was teaching me about anti-nutrients, of which sugar is one. So you want as little sugar as possible. So this is today's drink. This is today's drink. I needed a little nourishment to be able to bring you guys the nourishment. Okay, so let's talk about it. There are a number of things that I want to bring to your attention. And if you don't have a pen and a notebook, you may want to get one. Okay, or certainly subscribe, save this, and come back to this. But I want to talk about a few things. This man was crippled, handicapped, disabled, whatever the proper term is. So please forgive me if I make a mistake. If I ever make a mistake, please grant me grace. It's always a mistake of the mind and not of the heart. So this man who was disabled from birth, or differently abled from birth, has been coming, and he has been at the temple, at the gate called beautiful. So he has been placed at the gate called beautiful regularly. It's nothing new for him to be there. And it's important to think about the fact that they said this is a gate called beautiful. And it makes me recognize how many of us are at the gate at the gate called beautiful. Because when you walk through the gates, I want you to think about the allegory or the metaphor. You're walking through the gates to the place because it's the gate, the beautiful gate. So when you walk through, you're going to the beautiful life. And so many of us are at the gate. So many of us are regularly at the gate. He has been at the gate. And when he gets there, he begs for money. It's such an interesting thing. I really want you to understand. You get to the gate called beautiful. You want to go through the gates, but you think you need money. So many people miss this whole thing. Even right now, so many of you are missing it because you're chasing money. And he's been getting money because people throw him money, but money never got him through the gate. Oh, wait. Money never got him through the gate. You're chasing all the people who are telling you, I can get you this money and that money. The truth of the matter is the work I do with clients, yes, you're going to have wealth. You're going to build businesses. You're going to rise in your career. You're going to have opportunities. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've seen it happen in my own life. But it isn't the money that gets you through the gate. It isn't the money that gets you through the gate to the life called beautiful. It's so important. That's why I keep repeating it. So can we just get that in our spirits so that no one ever confuses you, no one ever distracts you or seduces you? Money won't get you through the gate. He's been getting money, but he's never gotten through the gates. Now, this particular day at 3:00, Peter and John were coming to the temple this particular day. Why is that relevant? Because there are times and seasons. There, you don't want to miss your season. There is something, you know, there's a time something will happen that you have to pay attention to it. There's a time something will happen that you have to pay attention to it. And I really want to kind of talk about this. So he said, one afternoon, Peter and John were going to the temple for 3:00 prayer. So they probably just looked in regular garb. And if you think about the prophets of those days and the preachers of those days and the Christians of those days that were doing the work of the times, they were often not easily recognizable. So it's not like today where, you know, a lot of us, we do personal branding. I say us, let me rephrase that. A lot of ministers and pastors and, you know, there's a whole personal brand around them and many of them are recognizable. In those days, they were often not recognizable. I want to take you back to, I'm trying to think of what verse this is, but the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman saw Elisha walking, the prophet, and she said, I perceive he's a man of God, which means that it wasn't readily obvious. And it wasn't for most of them. They didn't live lavish lives. In fact, many of them were not rich the way we would talk about rich today. So they, though, were captured by the sight of a man. So it wasn't him that noticed them. It was them that noticed him. Why is this critical? I keep saying this. If this is the only revelation you get this year, please get this revelation. Stop being a respecter of persons. Because if he had been looking to see who was dressed richly, who looked like they had more money, because remember, he was at the gate with one mission to get money. He had no other thought about what else he needed. He was just there to get money. Because he didn't even think that what Peter and John were about to give to him was possible. It was out of his realm. Like it wasn't something he was considering. So if he had been looking and saying, who looks rich? Let me follow those people. Let me chase after those people. By the way, some of the people that you think look rich aren't rich. Some of the people that don't look rich are rich. Sidebar, but let's keep moving. If you chase after the trappings of success, You may miss the people who are captivated by you, people who have a mission for you, who have something to offer you. Some of my greatest teachers have been people who honestly don't even have a formal education. I remember I've talked about her many times. She never had a formal education. She was a nanny in my house years and years ago when my daughter was very small. And she was just, I cannot explain, just soul and kind and loving. And, you know, she was a wonderful person and taught me so much. That season that she was in my home, she was such a blessing to me. And so many of us, we miss what God has for us because we're looking down on people. And we look up to things. We idolize things. We idolize money. And you're missing it because no matter how much money, no matter how luxurious, and you know, I like luxury, don't have a problem with it, but no matter how luxurious, no matter how many 7, 8, 9 figures, it will not get you through the gate to the life called beautiful. I have worked with wealthy people. I work with wealthy people a lot. I can categorically tell you that so many people that you are looking at their lives have deep unhappiness, deep pain. And the world we live in is designed to actually profit off that pain, because the messaging you get is just buy more, consume more, just get the latest, the greatest, just keep buying and buying and buying. Unbox this. I like a good unboxing video, I have to admit. Unbox this and somehow this thing in here will make you feel better. It is only fleeting for a minute. That's why you keep having to buy more. Eat this, oh Lord. Eat this and you'll feel better. No, just for a minute. Sleep with this person and you feel better just for a minute. Find love even and you feel better just for, it can't take you all the way. It can't take you all the way. Ooh, let's get back into the scripture. So when he noticed Peter and John, he begged them for money. Peter and John looked straight into the eyes of the crippled man and said, look at us. Look at us. So they were captivated by him. People may come into your life, they have something for you. I always say, when people have an affinity for you, doesn't matter where they're coming from, don't think that, oh my God, it's because, you know, they're my fans. It's not about your fans. They have something for you. They have something for you. They have something for you. Or you have something for them. There's a divine connection that maybe wants to happen. So be open. Now, Peter and John, looking straight into the crippled man's eyes, said, look at us. Look at us. Ooh, can I just be honest with you guys? Can I stop for a minute? I got a chastisement in my spirit. Ooh, because I tend to be I get some weird DMs sometimes in my social media from men. And because of that, I'm a little bit, you know, jarred. And so I don't entertain much. So I just want to say to all of them, if you had a message, please put the message in the DM. But, you know, the hello beautiful or whatnot, I won't be able to go further, right? But if you have a divine message, please put the divine message, okay? All right, and I'm always polite, even when I gently hit the block button, for those of you that are not so polite. Anyway, back to the message at hand, okay? Sorry, sidebar, I just had to... Ooh. And I think the reason why I said that, and maybe the reason why I was meant to say that, was also so that you don't, that, you know, you have to have discernment. This is why in all things get understanding, and we must be spirit led. So test every spirit. You must have discernment. Someone can have an affinity for you, but that affinity, you know, you have to test every spirit. Okay. So let me qualify that message that I just gave. Peter and John said, look at us. Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. Peter said, I don't have money, but I give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. There's a couple of things that I want to highlight here as a Christian. One, people can try to give you things, but you have to check the power by which they give you the thing. People can try to give you things, but you have to check the power by which they give you the thing. I'm a Christian for many reasons. I know in my soul, but I'll tell you, I've had people ask me things and you know, they want to practice other things. I'm not here. I cannot tell you what to do and what not to do. But the world, a lot of spiritual law is based on the give and take piece, right? Atonement is the word I was looking for. So when you do something or you take something, there will be a requirement in return. Almost every single, some of the things that people are trying to practice to force answers and force things, you know, you're doing this, you want to get this, I want his attention, I want that, you want it. And so there's some things people are willing to practice. Be mindful, there's always atonement. You will return something for what you take. However, Christ was the atonement. Christ was the atonement. He died as the atonement. He was the sacrificial lamb. Today, that's not the message today, but I just want to say that, you know, we have to be mindful by the power. These are strange times, and it has become very mainstream to pursue power from all sorts of sources, but be mindful about the power. I give you this by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And Peter held out his right hand. There are some people that, like I said, would have missed this whole thing because they would have stopped at, I don't have money. They would have, really? They're done. And they would have missed the whole thing. But he said, I don't have money, but I will give you this by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. Here's the other awareness I want to, you know, share with you that I remember I said that as I was reading it again, I got a different awareness. The first time I was reading it from the perspective of the man who was disabled. Now, when I read it the next time, I saw it from the perspective of a coach, a perspective of someone who has been given a gift to pour out into people. You see, so often we as coaches, we as thought leaders, we as change agents, we as Iconic Woman, if you are on here, you know that my mission is to support women into rising into the thought leaders, change agents, and icons that they are called to be. And an icon for me is a woman who is inspired, courageous, original, and necessary, purposefully doing what God has called her to be, doing what God has called her to do on this earth and being who God has called her to be. Now, one of the challenges and the mistakes that some of us make over time is that we become seduced by the message of the world and we start chasing money, or we think that if we cannot give people money, that if we, you know, some people retool their whole programs around money. Wealth is important. I have courses on wealth, on prosperity. I myself have had to do my own money block work. Money is critical, is necessary, but it's not everything. And we must make sure we don't make it into an idol. But here's the message. You have something deeper to give. People had been giving him money. One of the things that I teach my clients, those of you that are coaches, those of you that are thought leaders, I really talk about setting yourself apart. And one of the things that will set you apart, that will make you that sought after coach, that sought after leader, that sought after speaker, that sought after whatever icon that you are, is giving more than what everyone else is giving. Everyone else had been giving him money. Wait, why am I shouting? I'm shouting because this thing is real. Everyone else had been giving him money. But Peter and John said, I have no money to give you. But they had something greater. There is something greater inside of you that you have to give to people, but because you have been looking at what everyone else is giving, you are missing the gift that God has for you to give to others. And that is the thing that will set you apart, that will make you the game changer. You have been trying to do your business like everybody else, looking like at what this person is doing and what that person is doing, but what God has for you to give. Oh, wait, let me sit with that myself. What God has for you to give is deeper. It's deeper. And so Peter stretched forth his right hand and said, I'll give you this by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And because Peter was so rooted, we have to be in the vine. Because he was so rooted, the power comes from Jesus. Because he was so rooted, are you rooted? Today I posted something about being rooted. Are you sending out your roots to the source? Are you in the vine? You can do nothing good outside of me. Because he was so rooted. There was a time when I started my business initially because coaching is not a spiritual work, right? At least when I first started, that's what I thought. And I was trying to do it in the secular. I've gotten all the training, right? And I remember the shift, the day the shift occurred. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to bring my faith into this. And prior to that, it was interesting, 2-3 years before that, I had met a woman who was a strong woman of God. And she had said to me, I don't know how you're going to do this without Christ. I don't know. You're a person of faith. You're a Christian. How can you separate the two? This seems to me to be work that has to be spiritual. And at the time, I felt like being, you know, bringing Christianity into it would exclude people. But it's interesting because now I have people of other faiths because they know I love everybody. But I'm unapologetic about my faith and I'm unapologetic about my source. And I will share my source and I let people know you are welcome. I love you. But I'm not, you know, I'm not debating. We're not going to debate, right? And I'm not here to change your mind, but I will share what I know to be true. And I will share from my heart wisdom. And if you feel that that will help you, if you are okay with hearing about Jesus, come on in the room. Come on in the room. And I do. We have people of other faiths even in the masterminds. We do. And I love them. And they get so much from it. Because he was rooted, it came from him, the power. Some of you have been chasing people who are actually following people and copying from people and or maybe not even copying, but they're just not in the power. They don't have the power source isn't from God. So there, it's just here. Because I was in that space. I wasn't copying anybody, but I had done all the mastery. Mastery has so much value. I'm big on mastery. But I tell you the reason why I talk about spiritual connection and why even in my mastermind, there is spiritual growth that's part of it. The power. He held out his right hand to the crippled man. And suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and his ankles. I want to encourage you. The power, the thing that you want to transform, you want to transform people, you want to change their lives. It's okay. I pray for my clients. I don't necessarily pray with them, but I pray. Everyone in my mastermind, I pray for them. Everyone that I'm serving, I pray for them. I even pray for you. I don't know you, but I pray for you. The power surged because sometimes it's not the words you're going to speak. Sometimes it's not the strategies. Sometimes it's not the, you know, this is what you need to do. Just do it. No. Sometimes there needs to be divine power that surged to the crippled feet and ankles. There are things that you may not know that are stopping this person from being able to do what they're called to do. Oh, I didn't know I was supposed to talk to coaches today. Send this to a coach, you know. There are things, some of you, that's why your practice isn't growing. And God has been calling you. I'm here. You got to step into the power. You got to step into the power. I'm a living testimony. It changed completely, exponential growth, exponential growth. I've been talking about the icon, the feminine wealth personas, and the icon persona is the highest persona, highest prosperity persona, highest wealth persona, and divine alignment is a marker of that. That's what we do in the mastermind. We get you to the beingness of the icon, and I tell you, it's a game changer for the rest of your life and even generations after you. I'm just like, wahoo. So much here. He was stunned. You see, the man did not expect money. He only expected money, right? They reached out his right hand and they commanded him to walk. Even when they commanded him to walk, it sounds like, because it says he was stunned. So they say, stand up and walk. And he reaches his hand to the man. The man must have allowed him, right? put his hand in his hand, allowed him to pull him up. But even then, because he was stunned, his faith was not big, right? He didn't realize, he didn't say, I'm going to walk. He wasn't there yet. It was the guiding. This is why this feels like it's talking to a coach. It was the guiding, because he said to him and he guided, come on. He pulled, put his hand out, pulled him up, pulled him up, pulled him up. And when he got up, he was stunned. He did not know it was possible. Wait, 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 wait. And when it happened, this man jumped up and down and gave glory to God. He jumped up and down and gave glory to God. And when people saw him, admonition. This is an admonition. This is a warning. This is a warning that just came through, even as I'm talking right now. For those of you that are helping people, that are giving people, do not be seduced by the trick of the enemy to position yourself as the guru. Do not be seduced, because what happened right after this, because he was glorifying God, but people saw what happened. They were amazed over what had happened to him. The crowd ran over to Peter and John. Some of us, because I'm in the number. And I say this with full transparency. Years ago, when I received the call that I would be doing this, I had been told when I was a teenager, I received prophecy over prophecy over prophecy. Like, it's not new. In fact, it got to the point I was like, God, it's okay. I'm not doing this. Because when I was 13, a woman told me, a preacher, first woman preacher I'd ever seen, said, you are going to speak for God. And I said, me? I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a preacher. Please calm down. No. I actually said, no. I didn't say it to her face because my mother was standing right there. I have a Nigerian mother. It was a Nigerian room. It was a Nigerian preacher. I probably would have received a slap from my mother and a slap from the preacher. And maybe even a surrounding, you know, person passing by, like, how dare you? No. So I said that in my mind quietly while smiling. Yes. But I got confident, like, over and over throughout my life. And I fought it. I resisted. I was like Jonah. In fact, I think I was in a couple of whales. Now I think about it. Oh, Lord, I was in some whales. Are you in a whale? Are you Jonah? Are you in a whale? I had received the word. So when the time came, though, that I was ready, I was like, okay, Lord, send me. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. And he started to reveal the pathway he would have me go, because it wasn't going to be a typical pathway. Right? He was sending me down this pathway. When I started to coach, it wasn't even common. It wasn't even common in the Black community, not to talk about the African community. It was so strange. It wasn't common, period, when I got into it. It was still the realm of, like, just like Tony Robbins and people like that. Like, what? Wait, John Maxwell was around? I don't know. But we certainly knew about Tony Robbins and the Walking on Fire. And so it was strange. Like, what? And then I had not seen templates of Christian coaches, so I didn't even know. And God was calling me, you're going down this path, you're going down this path. Okay, 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 okay. But before I could go down the path, even at the very beginning, let me tell you something that happened. Until today, I'm looking for this book. One of the things that I like to do sometimes, I like to thrift, I like to do, you know, I'm a frugal fabulista. I like a good bargain. In the dollar store, if you don't know, if you have a dollar store around you, if you like books, and I have thousands of books, I love books. In the dollar store, they have these books that you can buy for a dollar. I told you I like a bargain. And so every so often, they'll have books I'll recognize, but then they'll have books that just look interesting that I have no idea about. There was this particular book, and I can't remember the name of the book. I know I bought it for a dollar, brought it home, and I started to read it. And the book was about a woman who was a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker type person, and her rise. So she started out, she had a gift from God. It was actually a Christian book, interestingly enough. Let me finish the story. You'll understand why I'm saying that this was a semi-supernatural experience. I was reading this book. It was about a woman who had a gift, and she started to manifest her gift and speak and rise, and she kind of started to blow up. Or she started to get attention, let me say that. A couple of people came around her and they were supporting her and telling her this is the way to go about it so you can really blow up, right? And she followed their advice, you know, some of them were small compromises here and there. So initially she was like, this doesn't really feel good, right? This is not quite, this feels out of integrity. Like, no, this is what everyone does. This is what everyone does. You have to do it this way. And so she kept doing, and she was blowing up. Like, she was on TV, she had massive audiences. Behind the scenes though, her spiritual life was dying. She wasn't praying. And even when she was praying, it was a rote prayer. She wasn't hearing from God. She wasn't connecting, especially the more out of integrity you get, right? You will disconnect from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, right? You will disconnect from the Holy Spirit. And so she was getting more and more disconnected. And as she was getting more and more disconnected, and in a world that all these people were surrounding her, because when you start to shine, many people will be attracted to your light. And not all those people are people of God. Not all those people are people of light. Not all those people are people who mean you well or mean anything. Some of them are there specifically to stop you. You know, the word talks about whether you're a believer or not, you know, believers, we know the enemy of our souls. But even if you're not a believer, if you are someone who believes in light and dark, resistance, terms like resistance will try to stop you. When you try to do something that will change the world for the better, resistance will try to stop you. The enemy of our souls will try to stop us. And there are three main ways that I've seen for people who are change agents, change leaders. This is why the work that I do, I don't have any apologies about it being grounded and us taking the time we need. It's an 8-month journey with my mastermind. And there's so much work that we do on the inside. People think that, it's what am I going to bring forth? But at the end of it, it's really about who have I become. And I'm so proud of that. It's so important because that work will not only save the quality of your work, it will save you as a person, because I've seen so many people become toxic in the process of trying to become successful overnight. And it's so interesting because you'll be surprised, you're bringing in millions and you're out there, but you are bleeding millions. You might not even be bringing in as much money as someone who is in the 6-figure range in a soulful way. Anyway, so this woman had been getting kind of pulled away from God, and she started to have dark experiences because a lot of dark people were around her. She didn't even know, right? And because she was no longer connected to the source. She was opening herself up to all kinds of things. And the more unhappy she got, the more fearful she got, the more stressed she got, she was willing to open herself up to other ideas and modalities because she just wanted to feel better. She was in pain because you're pouring out. And let me tell you, when you pour out to people, I know you pour out to people, you have to be intentional about being refreshed. Proverbs 11 says, "He who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed." It's so important that you are intentional about your refreshing and where you're getting your refreshing from. So she was so depleted because it looks great that you're speaking to thousands. It's sexy. Oh yeah, but you have no idea at the end of an engagement. I've had big talks. I don't know that I've spoken to thousands. I think I have had a couple of talks, speaking engagements where there are thousands. I'm seeing them in my mind's eye. But you know, hundreds regularly. When I get back, I curl into a ball sometimes. I'm so drained and depleted. When I got done with a retreat, I'm depleted. The last retreat we had in Puerto Rico, let me tell you, the ladies that were there, they can testify. we had at the last Iconic Woman Weekend, and we have another one coming up in November 5th to 7th. So go check out iconicwomanweekend.com if you're interested. But the last Iconic Woman Weekend, it was amazing, powerful. And then after we closed, we had a closing session. We had ended the retreats. The ladies, one or two of them, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. And this thing for me is service. It's my heart. Yeah, come up. And I was staying beyond them. They were all leaving on Sunday. I was going to stay a couple of days because I knew I would be depleted. And so they were they came up to my room. I had a suite. They came up to my suite. And it was not just one. At first it was one, then it was two, then it was three. Then it ended up being like 10 women in there. And then we start to talk. And then before you know it, we're praying. And the Spirit of God moved. I mean, this was a spiritual, like people speaking in tongues, let me tell you. And I was like, Lord, okay. And I was so grateful. And let me tell you the interesting thing. I tell you, God knows how he does his things. I had a suite, but it was a smaller suite. And while we were working, doing the work in the weekend, I think we arrived a couple of days before my team and I to prepare for the retreat. And the general manager of the hotel was walking around and he said, hey, beautiful ladies, right? I mean, we were beautiful La Negra women, right? He said, hey, beautiful ladies, you know, just being funny and polite and charming. That's his job. And he said, how was your stay at the hotel? And I said, it was good. He said, what, can I do anything to make it better? I said, yes, you can upgrade me to your most fabulous, to the penthouse suite. That's what I said. I said, you can upgrade me to the penthouse suite. I mean, it was a little tongue in cheek, but hey, I have learned to open my mouth. And he said, ha, I can't do the penthouse suite. We actually have someone in there, but I will give you the next level up. Right? The next level up. So he gave me a really big, beautiful suite. That suite, if I had had the woman in my other suite, it wouldn't have had enough space. That suite was the perfect size. We even had a balcony, perfect size for the woman that ended up being there that evening. So I tell you, when God asks you to say something, did I tell you that this podcast would be filled with nuggets? Don't close your mouth because he knows why he's asking you to tell that person. He knows why he sent that person to say, what can I do for you? So open your mouth at the right time because he knows what he's preparing you for. That suite was not for me. It was for the woman that needed to come because if I didn't have the suite, I might not have said to them, yes, come up to my suite. Because I'm a private person. So because I had a suite, I was able to close my bedroom door and say, yeah, you can come up. Even though I think some of them ended up walking through my bedroom, but that's okay. Right, I handled my inner self by then. So let's get back into the text. Just so much richness here. This is for you as an individual, but this is also for you as the person who is being called to be the icon. Don't fall for the trick of disconnecting from the source. Don't fall from the trick of becoming guru-fied, letting people guru-fy you and tell you how you are the thing. It's you. I always tell people, I have a gift, right? I'm operating in my gift. Come work with me. I'm happy to work with you. But even if you don't, I don't take it personally because I might not be the right one for you. I am merely a vessel of many vessels, a servant of the Most High God. So you need to turn people always back to God so you don't get caught up. Because this woman ended up getting in such a dark place. And sometimes I see people walking that path and I pray for them. I see them walking that path. I pray for them because I know that if they don't get off that path, where they're heading. Because at the end of reading this book, this woman was devastated and destroyed. I said there are three ways I've seen the enemy attack change agents, leaders, icons. One is to distract you completely. Two is to seduce you. And that seduction, right? That seduction is to can dilute you, right? Put you on a different path, make you toxic. Three is to destroy you. These three things, the less connected you are to the source, the more likely you are to have these things happen because you are wide open. You're not protected. So it's important to be mindful of these things. It's important to be mindful. My clients know, those of my in my inner circles, they know what I tell them when they get ready to embark upon their ministry, upon their ministry, which for me is work plus ministry. They know some of the preparation things. The inner work is so important because that stops you from being seduced. It stops you from being distracted. The destruction part, that's another thing. Because, you know, the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. These are real things. We don't like to talk about them. They're not that sexy because everyone wants to talk about how you can be pretty and how you can be prosperous. And no one's talking about the other parts of it. But I am a woman of a certain age. Look, can you see the gray? I have lived, I have cried, I've been through some things, I've fought some battles. And so I'm here to tell you, you may fight some battles, but baby, you can win. So the crowd surrounded him. Like in that book, the crowd surrounded her and she got toxic. She forgot who she was. She forgot that she was a servant of God. And she started to believe, in a sense, that she herself was a god, a guru, whatever language you want to call it. By the end of the book, she was completely destroyed. I remember when I ended reading that book and I was thinking about it and the Holy Spirit said to me, listen, always remember this. And over the years, as I've done this work, it comes to my mind all the time. When things come up, when people bring things my way and say, come this way, this, and I'll tell you, you have no idea the invitations I have received. I've had people call me and say, I have there's this person that knows all the secrets of the universe, all the ways. I said, what is that? Say, no, come. And they will help you. Like they'll give you the blueprint, the thing that will make you super successful. I say, what is this thing? This is not biblical. What is this? Say, no, it's not Bible. It's not everything is in the Bible. I say, oh, really? Oh, okay. Whoa. So what is going on? And they'll tell me about it. And you know, I'm quick to Google a thing and they're telling me, and I'll hear one thing, you know, Holy Spirit will bring one thing, one word that they will say, and I'll snatch it up, or a symbol, snatch it up, Google that thing. I'm like, my friend, I don't dabble in the occult. I don't. So, you know, I had one person who didn't even know that was what it was. I was like, have you looked this thing up that you're going? You can't be going helter skelter, pillar to post. You don't even know where you're going. They say, come here. This is the solution. You run there. You have to be careful. You can't just go. You have to guard your heart, guard your gift. I said, no, I can't do that. I told them, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm not in a hurry. Even in my manna season, I've talked about the manna season. If you've never heard me talk about the manna season, I talk about prosperity in the wilderness. In my manna season, I learned how to live with enough. There's some of you that God is pulling you to release your, I like luxury things. I don't have a problem with them, but I do not serve luxury things. And that is something that God has been pulling out of me over the years. I tell you, even on my recent trip to Miami, I was looking at some things and the Holy Spirit said, are we here again? Are we here again? Can you walk away from it? I said, yes, I can. I can. I'm walking. I hear you. And this is not to say there's anything wrong with those things, but if care is not taken, you can become enslaved to the things that are meant to be a gift and a joy to you. They become your master. And you cannot serve God and serve money. And it's not just money, fame, validation. You know, I've had people, we were talking about the other day about buying followers. I'm like, who is buying followers and why? But you will be surprised how many people are doing that because they feel such a deep need to be validated. Father. In verse 12, Peter said to them all, people of Israel, listen to me. Why are you so amazed by this healing? Why do you stare at us? We did not make this crippled man walk by our own power or authority. The God of our ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has done this. Oh, my God. We have to give back glory to whom glory is due. This was not even the message that I felt like I needed to share with you today, but I guess this is what the Holy Spirit would have us talk about. I don't know who, maybe somebody planned to listen to the broadcast that wasn't planning to listen to it before. And so now when I came to give this message, a whole new message came up. By the way, this wasn't even the message I was going to share today, but you know, here you go. I want to wrap it up. For you as a person, in order to step through the gate called beautiful, it will take more than what the world tells you it will take. It will take more than money. It will take prosperity of the soul. And so you have to be willing to do your work, your inner work. You have to be willing to put your hand in the hands of the person who's offering you more than money. You have to be willing to put your hand. You have to be willing to let them pull you up. You have to be willing to be blessed. And you don't want to miss your season. So many people, when they come to you, you miss it. Don't be a respecter of persons. Be a respecter of God, the Most High God. Don't be seduced or pulled away. When you get your breakthrough, give glory to God. There's also a part on there in Acts, in that verse, where it says the crowd was surrounding them, and also standing there was the healed beggar clinging to Peter and John. There are some people that have come into your life that have been a blessing to you. I've had people come, they've gained things from me. I've even had people come, gain things from me, try to take it and compete with me. I'm like, how for do? Are you so broken? Come back. You haven't really gone deep, because this was to change you, transform you, and help you get to your original thing for others. Not for you to take it, copy it, and try to like regurgitate it. That's the lowest of the low. You're beyond that, my love. Some of you get something because, again, remember, Peter and John did not look necessarily like success. And you're pulled away. You want to run with it. This happened in Acts as well, with the man who came with he didn't have a pure heart. He saw them healing. He wanted to know what they were doing. He wanted to even buy it because he didn't have a pure heart. And they admonished him. Come with a pure heart. This man had a pure heart, so he clung like, walk with me. We don't know the rest of his story, but if I was writing it, I would see him beginning to walk and work in ministry, because they would have shown him it's God and helped him connect deeper to God, and he would have found his own path of ministry. And for those of us that are called, you have your calling now, you're ready to receive your calling. Because I know that depending on where you are in your life, you may be like this man. He wasn't ready for the calling. He just needed the healing. That's why I have a womanhood course. Because sometimes you're not ready for the calling. You just need to get into the being of the woman. But then when you're ready for the calling, you need to become in the being of a feminine leader. So if you're ready for the calling, then these are the things to be mindful of. Do not be ashamed. Do not feel as if you need to change your whole mode of selling, because everyone seems to be prospering. They seem to be doing well by selling money. There's some people who are called to do that. That's part of their call, to talk about money directly. But if it's not part of your call, God has told you, it has never been part of my call. I don't talk about money. It's never been part of my call. I've had marketing people try to tell me that's people care about this. I was like, I know what God has told me to do. I did not leave one job because I didn't love being a pharmacist. I didn't leave one job to create a business that I don't like. No, I'm going to have to be true to myself. And God has blessed me over and over and over and over again. In fact, I ran into one of those people some years back who, and it's interesting, this was not even where I am today. I was, you know, and I was doing well then, but when I think about where I am today, and she said, because she had given me advice to change certain things, and I was like, no. And she said, oh, she was introducing me to someone. She said, honestly, I'm going to tell you she's successful. I have no idea how she's doing it. By the hand of God. Hallelujah. I have to give glory to whom glory is due. So don't let anything take you away from what God has for you. Walk the path. Walk the path. And the path through the gate called beautiful for you is not an ordinary path. It's an iconic path. Allow yourself to be inspired by the right spirit. Get your courage up so you can put your hand in the right hands. Recognize that you are an original. Your story is not like anyone else's. Recognize that you are necessary. You may not have money to give, but what you have to give, the way you have to give it, is critical for God to be glorified. You have purpose on this earth. Be intentional and be confident in who you are. Be iconic. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that this has blessed you richly. Yes? If it has, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment, share this with someone. If it's been a blessing to you, share this with someone. Amplify the word. Amplify the word. Thank you so much as always. God bless you. Be well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe and tell a friend. If you are listening to this show, it probably means you are ready to move from success into significance. Please visit us at iconicwomanhood.com and get a free gift to help you on your journey.